going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive, up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
That's right, it is the Going Deep podcast, and in this edition, now that we are past the Super Bowl, we're going to review it, but not necessarily just what happened on the field, but what happened around the field, I suppose on the field at halftime and in between play with the commercial breaks, because let's be honest, that was much better than the actual game, which was never really a game. The commercials were, I thought, outstanding. I actually recapped the top 25 for Sportsnet.ca. We'll put the link that in the show notes of this podcast. If you're listening via radio, go to sportsnet.ca and you'll see it there on our NFL page. But we're going to dive deep into those commercials and into the marketing promotion of the Super Bowl as well. Obviously, Kendrick's halftime show had a lot of conversation. We'll have a conversation about that a little bit later. But let's start with the ads. And you may remember last year, we did a recap similar to this, and we spoke to Susan Charles, brand strategy lead from YouTube Canada. We're going to do that again today because when you look at the ads in the United States, and we got most of them this year, here are the top 10. Booking.com was number one again. Rams Trucks, number two. Made by Google. Dream Job, number three, which I had high on my list. Yahoo came in at number four. Marvel Entertainment, which show will be happy about. The Thunderbolts big game trailer was five. We're seeing the same, in many cases, brands come back to the Super Bowl year in, year out. And we're actually seeing continuity from one year to the next in terms of the characters we're seeing in those ads. The Dunk Kings were back via Dunkin' Donuts, although there was a couple that were added. Bill Belichick, for example. And same continuity in terms of themes. Lots of women's rights. Lots of AI. Lots of tech and electricity and electric charging. So let's make some sense of all of this and figure out, were these ads educational? Were they entertaining? And were they efficient? Did they actually deliver on the $7 million USD, and in some cases, as high as $8 million USD, that brands paid for 30 seconds? Let's go deep on the Super Bowl ads in 2025 with Susan Charles. So, Susan, this is one of my favorite chats now, and hopefully we can make it annual every year as we break down, analyze, and reminisce about the big game ads that we saw during the Super Bowl and people are continuing to watch online via YouTube and Ad Blitz. Was there a trend this year? I feel like every year it's a bit of a time capsule of what's going on. Last year, there's Taylor Swift and girls watching football with their dads. In the past, we've seen things about racial reckoning or Bitcoin. Was there something that stuck out to you for 2025?
I mean, yes. There's a few things that stuck out to me. What I think it, or what I know, I noticed more this year than I have in years past, is this cultural moment of the Super Bowl extending its time period with fans. We saw a little bit last year at the end of the AFC and NFC championship games where brands were teasing their big game moments on YouTube, and they were starting to kind of build that storytelling on YouTube. But this year, it was exponentially more. Most of the brands were either putting their full spots or teaser spots or behind-the-scenes content or interviews with their talent on YouTube, like the moment those championship games ended, and we were inundated with storytelling and ads on YouTube every single day leading up to yesterday or leading up to the Super Bowl. And then now we're getting even more content coming out. So I think brands have really leaned in more this year on YouTube and creating these fan experiences than they have in years past.
Well, the interesting thing is you start about the clock starting early on when people are consuming these ads. I've noticed that it's extending until afterwards, where Dunkin' Donuts released a full film of the Dunn Kings. Apple came out post-game with a film and ad with Messi. How long after the actual game are people still interested searching, consuming this type of content?
Several days. I would even posit that it's going to be a few weeks. And then for things like the halftime show, we're seeing halftime shows be viewed year-round on YouTube. The last time I checked, Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show from a few years ago is still the most viewed YouTube halftime show. And we see that viewership of halftime shows increase leading up to the Super Bowl and then continue for several days and now weeks afterwards and be like a year-round phenomenon.
You mentioned halftime show, so naturally let's go there. I'm not sure as Canadians if we're allowed to consume it as much as our American friends as we pledge allegiance to all things Drake. But this was such a talked about before the halftime show performance in terms of what was going to happen, who would be involved, and how explicit it was going to be. What are you seeing in terms of the consumption of it and maybe even more importantly, the conversation around it now that it's happened?
Yeah, it was really interesting. Leading up to the halftime show, we were seeing queries like, what is the set list going to be? Who are the cameos going to be? And we know that Kendrick Lamar's Grammy-winning track, Not Like Us, actually ranks number 4 in songs on YouTube in 2024. So there's a lot of popularity there and a lot of questions. And YouTube is really where culture lives. So any questions that you had about Kendrick Lamar and anyone wanting to know more about him and his tracks, YouTube is the place where all of that content lived, and that's where fans were going to really immerse themselves in it leading up to the actual halftime show. And coming out of it, in preparation for chatting with you, Donovan, I did look at what were the top trending searches around the halftime show coming out of last night. And the number one search, growing by over 1,000%, is halftime show reviews. We're also seeing searches for what was Kendrick Lamar's chain? What did his jacket say? How to pronounce SZA? People asking if that truly was Serena Williams. Yes, it was. And then things like men's flare jeans trending now. So I don't know if flare jeans are going to make a comeback coming out of last night. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but there's certainly interest in it.
Please not. They certainly won't make a comeback in the audience of one in my wardrobe. That's for sure. Interesting that all those Easter eggs that Kendrick had in his performance were things that people look to research and dive deep on. Fascinating. Okay, so I wrote a story for Sportsnet.ca ranking the top 25 Super Bowl ads. I was constantly refreshing ad blitz throughout the night to see, is there anything I missed? Is there anything that popped up in the American broadcast that I didn't necessarily see, you know, in the Canadian broadcast? But that's my comprehensive ranking. It doesn't mean it's right. You have a ranking of what people are actually consuming and watching. When you look at the most viewed ads, what takeaways do you have?
Well, there's certainly some themes. The most viewed ad was, again, for the third year in a row, Booking.com. And Booking just seems to nail it every single year. We had, I think it was Melissa McCarthy from 3 years ago. Last year, it was that iconic Tina Fey spot. And this year, we had a throwback team up between Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog, which, again, who doesn't love our favorite characters from The Muppets? So they just seem to nail it every year. And so that, again, third year in a row, trending number one. We also saw iconic throwbacks with a remaking of Goldilocks with Glenn Powell, a ridiculous, hilarious remaking of Goldilocks with Glenn Powell reviewing Ram trucks. Also iconic throwbacks with other things like Hellman's and replaying or recreating When Harry Met Sally in that deli scene between Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. And then finally, Haagen-Dazs teaming up Dominic Toretto and Letty again from Fast and the Furious fame to slow things down with Haagen-Dazs. So iconic throwbacks, certainly a theme that we saw. We also saw a really interesting creative inspiration and storytelling through just everyday human truths. There was a beautiful heartwarming ad from Made by Google where a dad preps for an interview using Gemini as the AI assistant on his phone. And he's sharing all of his experiences as a parent and what he has learned, the skills that he's learned as a parent from multitasking to negotiating with his kids and how that's actually going to make him a great employee. So again, based on this truth that like parents are learning and adapting in real time, we also saw a much more hilarious version of Girl Math and Dash Pass Math, which is a bit of a tongue twister, with Nate Bergates saying like he's saving so much money on his DoorDash that he can buy these crazy extravagant items, which his accountant is absolutely not loving. So a lot of inspiration on kind of these human truths that we're experiences. And we saw like some community themes with Yahoo and Bill Murray asking people to email Bill Murray for more continuation of his story. And finally, we also saw siblings. I wouldn't say this is the year of the siblings because we see Ben Affleck and Casey Affleck. We've seen them before. We've seen Peyton Manning and Eli Manning before, but to a much greater extent this year.
I actually loved the Google ad. Maybe it's because I'm a young dad. I'm a little bit of a sap. It was personally my favorite. I didn't rank it number one because I knew it wasn't going to be for everyone. And that doesn't necessarily mean it was the best, but it's the one I resonated with the most. But maybe it's just the times. Maybe it's just the time of year. But I felt overall the ads were generally pretty light. Commonalities were comedic and there were celebrities. Is that a formula that you're noticing more and more in terms of marketing around these major events?
I actually did say that to a few of my team members leading up to the big day, and I feel that even more now having seen the ads coming out of yesterday. So much celebrity, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of like lighthearted entertainment, and then like trying to make people feel something like you mentioned about the Made by Google ad. I also teared up during that ad. It certainly made me feel something. But there was one ad that did kind of push a bit more. The Uber Eats ad with Martha Stewart and Charlie XCX, where the theme was we listen and we don't judge. Martha saying that Charlie XCX, she thought that was a Wi-Fi password. And Charlie saying she thought Martha was a caterer, not the talent in the spot. And then after all of these like somewhat inflammatory comments, they are saying, you know, we listen and we don't judge. And I really loved the theme of that. And that was kind of one of the more pointed ads that we saw last night.
So I'm going to ask you to put your brand strategy hat on now, because there's different metrics in terms of viewing success after a night like that. And if you're paying $7 to $8 million USD for 30 seconds of primetime real estate, yes, you want a lot of views, but ultimately you want conversions and you want people to actually resonate and remember that I didn't see an ad with Martha Stewart. I saw an Uber Eats ad. So for you, who did well, not just in creating a great commercial, but basing it in a way that people can better resonate with the brand than maybe they did before they watched it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was looking for brands that were creating experiences for audiences. Having a 30-second ad in the Super Bowl is great. I know they're very expensive, but I also know that people are doing other things during the Super Bowl. They are eating, they're talking with their friends, they're having conversations online, they're checking their phones, they're going on YouTube. Like there's just a lot of other things to do. And so the brands that actually diversified and created those experiences on YouTube where they could let their stories breathe a bit more, where they could tell more of the story, where they could continually reinforce their brand messaging with audiences leading up to the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl, and then after the Super Bowl, those are the brands that I feel like are really going to win. They're either going to sell more of whatever they're trying to sell, or they're going to gain brand awareness or build more brand consideration with their audiences because they were really taking advantage of the full moment, not just in the confines of the game, but in this conversation and this watch time, kind of watch time spike where we see brands really leaning, or excuse me, where we see audiences really leaning into YouTube to satisfy every single curiosity that they have as a fan and that they have as a kind of student of the moment, the pop culture moment. The brand leaning in there, I think, will do the best.
Okay, let's talk about Canada specifically. We had some, during the broadcast, some political ads run. Qualinet in Quebec had an ad in relation to Donald Trump and tariffs. And we saw a brand like Coors Light have specific target marketing towards Canadians, had the ad in French as well. Are we seeing now big international brands have a country-specific approach to these marketing campaigns?
We did see brands have some brands have country-specific approaches. YouTube is a great place for brands to find their audiences and engage them with whatever message they are trying to, or whatever message they're trying to achieve with their audience. And last night was no different. For brands, there are certain brands, Canadian brands, that we typically have not seen make a specific Super Bowl or game-related spot, lean into that moment and engage Canadians with a strong Canadian message. Tim Hortons did this, TD did this, and a couple of other brands as well were leaning into the moment of Canada and trying to be, or having a lot of pride for our country. And like I said, YouTube is one of the best places to do this because you can find and engage your audience, and it is where these cultural moments really live and breathe and thrive. So of course we saw more of that than in previous years, because brands now know that if you want to achieve something with a specific audience, YouTube is the place to do it.
Okay. What didn't work so well? Was there a spot or two that you thought didn't really meet the moment?
As this is, again, an interesting question. Had there so much in the eye of their beholder? There are things that I would think are a little bit, you know, kind of strange that someone else in our party would think, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And that's really the beauty of being able to kind of be in this cultural moment, and also to use YouTube to find those different audiences who an ad may or may not appeal to. So again, it's really in the eye of the beholder. I have my favorites, but there wasn't really one that I saw that I was like, oh, didn't really miss the market. Because again, I can't make that judgment, because something that might not appeal to me would definitely appeal to someone else.
Weak. Okay. What was your favorite?
This one was a really hard to choose. I loved the Other David. Mostly because I saw it like after the AFC and NFC championship games. I love the Other David. I love the Stella Artois ad before that. I love the integration of Matt Damon. I definitely LOL'd at the end of it. The Uber Eats ad with Matthew McConaughey talking about how the football was simply a racket to get people to eat felt like a very strong human truth. Loved that as well. Heartwarming side, the Made by Google ad did make me kind of get in my feels quite a bit. And then who doesn't love the Dunkin' ads, the Dunkings? Like, there's, how am I going to say no to this?
I love that. I love the cameo with Belichick and Drewski. I didn't think I would see them in the same place in any context. And the Other David was great as well. Even the backstory of it being, you know, directed by Ben Affleck, but they take a shot at Ben Affleck in the spot. And Anheuser-Busch, really fascinating, the fact they had across their category of beers, the four different ads, but they all are tailored differently depending on, obviously, the beer in that audience. So, you know, from a brand perspective, you know, that was really fascinating. Okay, and lastly, the game sucked. It was terrible. It didn't really ever seem close. Does that impact two things? One, people consuming highlights and plays of the game online, and two, people sticking around to watch the game and having exposure to these ads via linear TV or streaming, and thus finding the need to discover them in a different way.
I was wondering if you were going to ask me about this because the game, I was very much hoping for a really great game. And now if you are a Philly fan, it was a really great game. Given the tone around the game to start, how it was a potentially a three-peat, and Eagles fans are so passionate, and there's just a lot of passion around the Chiefs being beaten, I don't suspect there's going to be a drop in people wanting to, or fans wanting to know a bit more about the game and trying to consume highlights, reviews, celebrations, etc. Because I think there was so much passion for both scenarios that now you're going to have just this need to satisfy curiosities and really wanting to see the rhetoric around what happened. And again, like, we're getting so much of that already. Like, I've been watching highlights since I got in the office at 6:30 this morning on YouTube, because I don't have a linear TV subscription. So I've been watching them on YouTube, and I'm seeing every single take that you could ever imagine on what happened last night. And I'm not satisfied. I still want to consume more. Now, to your second point around what type of drop-off will we potentially have seen at the end of the game if people are like, oh man, this game is done. There's no point in watching it anymore. I'm just going to go get some sleep. The beauty of those ads is that YouTube, them being on YouTube as well, and then having extended cuts on YouTube and other cuts on YouTube, acts as a bit of an insurance policy for anybody that would have left the game early. You're still going to be able to find your audience, and you're still able to engage all of these people, or as many people as your brand desires, in the YouTube space. So they're really a complementary experience for each other.
Yeah, pretty fascinating moving forward. Those fourth quarter spots are normally prime real estate, but, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, those first quarter spots were maybe a little bit more beneficial in this go around. Okay, this has all been great and super fascinating. Lastly, if people want to now go and consume more, what's the easiest way to do it?
The easiest way is go to YouTube.com, and there's right underneath the search bar at the top, there's a little button that says Super Bowl, and then there's a button next to it that I just looked at said television commercials. I've been clicking those and just clicking refresh and constantly seeing YouTube shorts, like people are updating shorts from the game, celebrity sightings, analysis. We're getting everything, and it's being uploaded so fast that I cannot keep up with all of the interesting nuggets of information that are popping into my feed.
Perfect. Click two buttons. My toddler can do that on the iPad. Very easy. Thank you so much. It's been so fun.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thanks so much to Susan. As you heard, you can go to Ad Blitz, see all of those ads. And again, you can go to sportsnet.ca and see my roundup of the top 25. Let me know. What did I get wrong? What did I miss? What did you like? Give me your order, whether it's in the comments of that article or on Twitter or on IG. All right, let's take a quick break. We go from Super Bowl ads to Super Bowl halftime show and the value of that next.
My name is Lucille Bryan.
I'm Clifton Bryan.
My grandson has a show.
And I'm so happy that you're listening to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
I'm so glad that he had a show. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Grandma and Granddad. This is the Going Deep podcast, and we are still focused on the Super Bowl. We will turn the page to Four Nations soon, but people still haven't turned the page, as you heard earlier. People are still watching the performances at halftime and the commercials. Let's talk about those performances at halftime, because last year, 129 million people watch Usher at halftime. Rock Nation is reporting that number was higher for Kendrick Lamar. Some people have disputed that claim. Either way, it is a massive deal for an artist. But it's a deal that they do essentially for free. The NFL or the sponsor, whether it's Pepsi in the past, Apple Music now, don't pay halftime artists. In fact, they put a lot of their own money into the performance. The proverbial question is why? What's in it for them? How lucrative can it be for them? And will K-Dot Kendrick cash in? Best person to ask is our next guest, Sherry Lambert, professor of practice in marketing at the Fox School of Business at Temple University, joins us. Let's go deep on the branding of a Super Bowl halftime show and the money that can be made. So Sherry, maybe some people would be surprised to know, but it's pretty widely known now that the Super Bowl halftime show is not a paid gig. It is like my unpaid internship when I was in college. But I think there's much more upside and value for the artists who decide to do it and sink, in some cases, millions of dollars into it. What does that relationship look like? And why do artists like Kendrick Lamar or Usher say yes?
Oh, gosh. Well, this is the thing, right? I mean, what better exposure do they get, right? Now, you cannot get better exposure than the Super Bowl with the amount of, I think the last numbers I saw, you know, you're reaching, let alone like Rihanna in the 2023 Super Bowl halftime show, she reached over 200 million people across all platforms. And when I say all platforms, we're thinking broadcast, streaming, social media, et cetera, right? And just even in terms of TV alone, the average viewership of the Super Bowl is over 100 million in the U.S., not globally. So if I'm an artist and I care about my brand, sign me up, right? I would definitely do it. Granted, they're not spending money out of their own pocket. The NFL, you know, makes them whole, like all the set design, all those sort of things, that's covered, so they don't have to do that. But it's a pretty darn good gig.
So we've seen in the past artists launch tours or art or albums. You know, Rihanna soft launched a pregnancy. What have been some of the tangible benefits to their business and to the ecosystem of these artists that we've seen from the halo effect of performing at the Super Bowl halftime?
It's so funny you mentioned the Rihanna soft launch. Like, everybody after that Super Bowl was like, wait, did she have a baby bump? What was going on there? She also, during that Super Bowl performance, took a pause, if you'll recall, and she like dabbed her face. She was pitching. She was pitching her product, right? Her makeup line. She was pitching that there. And then every artist after the Super Bowl, we're seeing streaming increases. So like on Spotify, streaming of their music that normally was not done. Like maybe they went a little cold as an artist in terms of getting their streaming up. But then after their performance at the Super Bowl halftime show, streaming numbers go way up. So they have that going for them, right? They obviously have all the reshares on social medias, as I mentioned earlier. But you brought up a really good thing. They're getting also into these other realms that they might not have had before. And I think it might have been, you'll have to do a fact check on me, but it's either Rihanna or Beyonce that after their show, they've then had a Netflix documentary style TV shows, you know, with Netflix that really showed like the making of the Super Bowl show. And they're getting a lot of media attention from it. So there's a lot of different, if I dare say, products that are offshoots from their Super Bowl, you know, performance. And those definitely they're getting money for and they're getting that compensation for.
You mentioned Netflix. Beyonce performed for Netflix at halftime of their Christmas Day game. They will have Christmas Day games, it seems, for the foreseeable future, locked in already on Christmas 2025. That was part of Beyonce's three-part deal with Netflix. Will a stage like that rival the Super Bowl, be different? Can you compare and contrast the reach that new entity into this conversation may eventually have?
Well, definitely the reach is going to be a little different, right? Because if we were to look, and I don't have those numbers in front of me, but if we were to look at what that consumer looks like, the ones that are going to tap into the Netflix show and so forth, they've got to be different than the general public that tap into and that consumer that tap into the Super Bowl, for instance. But you are definitely going to get that exposure that you never got before as an artist. And I think that's what really helps us right now. You know, as marketers, we think about the way that any brand, even if it's a celebrity, an artist, or just a product, you know, like a tangible, fast-moving consumer good product brand, that we no longer as marketers control the narrative. The consumer controls that narrative. So what I think we're going to see a little differently, like with this Netflix show with Beyonce, is that the consumer will start sharing out. And so every brand has to really lean in the consumer. You're not going to control it, but you want to make sure you're part of that conversation. And so by Beyonce doing this and other artists like that being part of these streaming shows and TV episodes, for lack of a better word, you are being that you're being part of the conversation. And you are, in essence, marketing your brand, because we're looking as marketers for those consumers to lean into it. They will share our content. They will share out. They will repost it. They'll take snippets of it and post it on even social media. They're going to share it to their friends and kind of broadcast it out for us. So it's taking what we used to call in the industry is traditional word of mouth marketing, and it's just exploding that out. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that happening in just the age of digital innovation and marketing.
This is a marketing vehicle for the NFL as well. It allows them to cut through not just to football fans and reach different audience and different media, quite frankly, is the performers and their set list is something that has been discussed well before and after the performances. I want to talk about this choice and Kendrick Lamar. We see a lot of nostalgia when it comes to Super Bowl. We see it in the commercials. We've seen it in the artists, whether it was Usher and Snoop and Dr. Dre. And then you saw Kendrick, which was a very trending right now choice.
He's hot now.
But he's not necessarily someone that, you know, my grandparents would have heard when they're waiting, you know, to see the dentist. So there's an aspect of what's the difference in value for an artist that is currently hot versus, you know, some of those older artists. And then what's the difference in terms of reach to the masses, given that there's videos of people inside the Mercedes Superdome not really jiving with Kendrick's performance?
Okay, so you had a lot of questions right there on that. I tried to write them down so I can kind of unpack them. But what I think the first thing to address is the whole Super Bowl performance with Lamar this weekend. I don't know about you, but you're absolutely right. Like, your grandparents had no clue what was going on. And I would say the late millennial consumer through baby boomers had no idea what was going on. And they were, and I guarantee if they are savvy enough to be on their iPhones and texting, they were texting their friends going, what the heck is this? What's going on? Unlike those baby boomers and the late millennials, if you ask the Gen Z, Gen X, that, and the younger millennial break, and you said, what did you think about the show? They resoundingly loved it. They loved it. They got it. They understood it. They saw all the nuances. There were so many messages, right? He was using it as a platform for his political beliefs, his stance. He made digs against Drake. I mean, he had everything going on in there. And then if you're watching it on television, you could see that, you know, the flag, you could see the colors and so forth. But I think that spoke to different audiences. I think the real question is what did the NFL miss the mark, right? That's the question. Because we always talk about a key target segment that we're going after to market. So did they miss it? I don't know. I don't know what their viewership is. I don't know for the Super Bowl. I don't know how it breaks down into demographics. But I do think, I thought it was very interesting because he's hot now. So that they're either A, going for someone that's hot right now, or they, as you said, go for nostalgia, right? Nostalgia. They go back. They had the Rolling Stones. They had different individuals perform and to have people kind of think back to it. This was definitely against the nostalgia time of the day. So they were in tune with culture making, right? And hip hop is hot right now. And so even in, I think, 2022, the halftime show was had Kendrick Lamar then. He was part of the Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre. I think Mary J. Blige was all on the stage performing in 2022. Again, hip-hop. But that was kind of more of like a nostalgia-ish one, which I think is just incredible to see it. So the reach is interesting because I, as I said, you know, I'm sure like the baby boomers were all texting each other and, you know, or in a room with going, what's going on here? And I even had my friends going, Sherry, what's going on? And I brought this up in my marketing, my digital marketing class. And I was like, what'd you guys think of the halftime show? And resounding, these students that are, you know, ages 20 to maybe 22, maybe 19, 20, 22, they're like, I loved it. It was so great. And they got the nuances and they understood it. And I think that's just amazing. And so if that's the reach that they were going for the NFL with Kendrick Lamar, then I think they definitely have engaged their viewership, which is key.
There was lots of conversation about the beef before and after and how explicit he was going to be. And now does this end said beef? Before I let you go, I maybe want you to end a conversation that we have had internally. Kendrick Lamar gets the Super Bowl after Drake has a song referencing that he is bigger than the Super Bowl. Drake is going to be playing during the World Cup, which, you know, takes the reach from millions to billions, but the Super Bowl is part of pop culture. Is one stage bigger than the other? Can you compare the two?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't know if one stage is bigger than the other. I'm sure there's a, you know, I will say the World Cup, that stage is becoming, you know, that is, if we're talking about an artist being hot, the World Cup and, you know, soccer is booming as the hot sport now, right? So is one stage bigger? You've got the history of the Super Bowl. So if you're forcing me to put a flag or a line in the sand, I would say that the Super Bowl is bigger than the World Cup, just because it has the history and it has the nostalgia, which is like that history, and it's got that, you know, cross reach, right? Cross generational reach, which as a marketer I'm looking for. I don't think the World Cup has the cross generational reach, not yet.
All right. Well, we have that definitive answer, despite what our Canadian audience thinks. Drake takes another L in comparison to Kendrick. Thank you so much for all of the perspective. This has been really fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Sherry for joining us. I'm Sho Ali, producer of Going Deep. Before we say goodbye, Donovan and I wanted to continue the conversation that Sherry and he were having vis-a-vis the Super Bowl, actually with a chat that Donovan and myself had earlier this week on the Fan Checkdown.
People also said the halftime show sucked.
You want to do this now?
Yeah, let's do it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay, because like, I saw your tweet about boycotting, and I wasn't sure how serious that was.
I emotionally boycotted.
Okay.
I did watch it. Do you want to give your take?
First of all, I did not realize Kendrick Lamar is like Kevin Hart
size.
I did not realize that.
So you didn't
that.
Listen to all the Drake disses where he makes fun of his height?
No, I did. I genuinely didn't realize that. Then he was standing next to some of the backup dancers. I'm like, gosh, either these backup dancers are gigantic human beings or he is really short. And I Googled it. So Kevin Hart is 5'4". Kendrick Lamar is 5'5". I could not believe that. That is remarkable, by the way. I can't believe I feel like you would get made fun of more if you're that short and you're this famous. But I mean, whatever. I know it doesn't really matter, but
well,
my
Kendrick,
God.
Kendrick has an album called Kendrick Lamar and the Big Steppers. And in one of Drake's disses, he says, how are you big stepping with a size 7 man's heart?
It's pretty funny, actually. Look, on the whole, I thought two things. I actually was really impressed by a lot of the visuals. I loved some of the visuals. Like, first of all, I mean, you know I'm a big movie guy. I'm a big fan of Samuel Jackson as Uncle Sam. Inspired choice. I love Samuel Jackson. I love what he said about asking Kendrick to not be a certain way in front of like the actual American president who was at the Super Bowl. That was really cool. Serena Williams theorized, is it a theory or was that confirmed that she is a Drake ex? Is that a for sure thing we know?
I don't know if he sent her a note and said, check the box if you like me. But yes,
but they were seen together.
He followed her on tour for a while. And he has not necessarily been kind to her current husband, former Reddit founder, CEO, Alexis. But yes, that is a fling. Part of the beef between Drake and Common was over Serena.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so there you go. So Serena Williams being a part of it. And I mean, the media tore her to shreds for doing what she did during the Super Bowl halftime show at Wimbledon. Was it last year or the year before? Whatever. Relatively recently. She did it and they like really just crapped all over her. So for her to do that at the Super Bowl halftime show, even if it was just for long enough that I wasn't 100% sure in the moment if it was Serena Williams. And then I looked it up online afterwards. I'm like, it was her. That's pretty cool. Okay, there were a lot of, the PlayStation buttons at the beginning. Well, I thought that was kind of fun as someone likes to play video games. Like, there were a lot of individual aspects and ideas that I thought were really clever, but I still thought it wasn't a great Super Bowl halftime show. Does that make sense? I thought it was a great musical performance, even a pretty good rap hip-hop performance. But in terms of it being like a Super Bowl halftime show, which usually carries some spectacle, I thought it was a little less than.
It sucked. It was lackluster. It was it was overthought and underwhelming.
Okay.
He did what may have been a mid-Grammys performance at the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is not for you. It's not for your friends or your followers or to end a beef. The Super Bowl is for 120 million people, plus however many people are going to continue to stream and watch the performance on YouTube. I felt like he was trying too hard to dunk on Drake because Drake, in a third-person shooter, the song that in many ways further ignited this beef that was brewing for a while, has a line bigger than the Super Bowl. And so Kendrick wanted to flex and be like, hey, look who's playing the Super Bowl. I'm bigger than the Super Bowl. But that just shows that Drake still, even though most feel Kendrick won the battle, I'm not one of them, shows that Drake is living rent-free in his head. You know what's not a flex? Bringing up not one, but two of Drake's exes on stage, because SZA
yeah,
who he's on tour with, also has had prior relations with the boy, Aubrey Graham. He teased doing the, major diss record, Not Like Us. He did it. He didn't even really do the best parts of it, but he did the most inflammatory parts of it. And this goes back to the main issue. There's a lot of messaging, and he made a bigger statement that was maybe a little bit radical, certainly political, social. But if there are so many Easter eggs in their performance that people have to rethink pieces and watch TikToks to understand it, then you've kind of missed the plot. And I know that's his thing, and he's a Pulitzer Prize Award winner. But
is he really?
He is, yeah.
I know that.
But we just want to be entertained in this moment. And most of these people are not going to go looking for the Easter eggs, don't really care, don't have the prior history of the beast, and just want to be entertained. And so he was a hot choice because he was hot in the moment. But he isn't, and it showed, the level of artist that could meet this moment.
Yeah.
Usher has a catalog of hits that are undeniable, whether you've heard them before or not. Rihanna has a catalog of hits that are undeniable, whether you've heard them before or not.
But Donovan, Rihanna basically did not perform like 6 to 10 songs that could have been another halftime show, essentially.
Correct. Beyonce, undeniable, has a catalog of hits that no matter what you're moving to. Kendrick did mostly recent stuff, didn't do some of his bigger hits, didn't do some of the collabs that people would know with Taylor Swift or Maroon 5, because that would further Drake's point that you're really not as hard as you claim. I thought it was underwhelming week. And given that Beyonce put down a marker on Christmas Day as to this is the level you need to be at if you're going to play in this space, and he knew that, I thought it was meh.
You know,
not even mid, Meh.
The Beyonce thing is a good point because I did not listen to the Cowboy Carter album. I didn't listen. I listened to the Texas Hold'em, and that was it because it played on the radio, right? So I'm like a pretty much an everyman casual when it comes to listening to this popular music. But I was still entertained by the Beyonce halftime show because Beyonce understood that, I mean, they were essentially doing a Super Bowl halftime show during the Christmas Day game for Netflix. But like, I think she understood the idea that the Super Bowl halftime show itself is like a maximalist spectacle, right? Like Katy Perry, I don't know if Katy Perry has like that many hits to do a whole halftime show, but you know, when she had her show, she rode in on a gigantic lion, performed all of her hits, and then left the stage and let Missy Elliott perform not one, not two, but three of her biggest hits. Correct. Which is, I think, what maybe not what the audience expected, but something the audience knows. Right. And I mean, I'm a pretty casual observer of Kendrick's music. I know Humble. I know Not Like Us. And it was a very heavily edited version of Not Like Us. And all the stars would SZA because it was on the Black Panther soundtrack, essentially. That's why. Right. And he played those three songs. I didn't know a single other song, but I was still willing to be entertained if they did something fun visually, and they didn't really, no. if that's the case, and I don't know. And then you added on top of this whole thing, the audio mixing of it was horrible. I just like couldn't hear the words. You know, the words I heard the most clearly was turn your TV off at the very end. And I thought, God, that's like not a great place to end, given I didn't hear any other words he said for the last like 15 minutes, essentially.
Well, that is podcast producer show coming out because I did not notice or care about the mix, but Kendrick has performed before at a Super Bowl halftime. He was part of Dr. Dre and Eminem and 50 Cent. He was part of a collective. So he should have understood the assignment. He didn't. It's not about just you. He could have brought in other artists. He could have made it an LA spectacle and brought in a bunch of different artists. He could have made it a Black Empowerment spectacle and brought in, you know, Public Enemy or Run DMC or Common. He could have done a bunch of things. He made it personal, and so maybe he wanted it to reach Drake, but I don't know how many other people, other than Kendrick stans, we're going to like it no matter what, it reached. No real set change, no wardrobe change, and it didn't leave you thinking, oh man, I got to talk about this at the water cooler tomorrow. It was...
It's definitely enough for me, dog.
that's a quick way to say it. And I think this is the difference between being a great artist and a great entertainer.
That's fair.
Kendrick wanted to have this message, and Beyonce was able to make a message. She talked about the fact that the history of country can't be told without the history of Black people in Black music and in the South, the U.S. So she did that. She brought up the first Black rodeo cowboy, et cetera, et cetera. She put on new country artists that are Black. Shaboozy is a household name, thankfully, because of Beyonce. So she made a message, but also she still entertained us. Kendrick just made a mess of trying to make a message, did not entertain us. I felt it was a miss. Because I guess he is just such an artist and not an entertainer. You know who would have done an appreciably better job in that spot? Drake, because he understands that it's all about entertainment. It's all about moments and captivating audience. So, yeah. And he'll probably never do the Super Bowl now after this.
Yeah, he probably never will. I was actually thinking about that.
He's doing halftime of a World Cup game. I don't know if it's the first one or the last one.
Really?
Or how the... Okay. But is... And here's a barbershop argument.
Okay.
What is a better gig? The Super Bowl, which we kind of know in pop culture, you're doing it for free, and Pepsi and Apple's going to make a lot of money, but you're going to make money in streams, but that's in front of 120 billion this year, or the World Cup, which 120 million, or the World Cup, which is in front of billions.
Everyone, yeah. That's a good question. I still think it's probably the Super Bowl halftime show only because it's such a hyper-focused event. You know what I mean? Like, no one's like, hey, who's performing at the World Cup halftime show of one of 1,000 games, right? Like if he was performing...
Who's going to surpass that Shakira performance from South Africa?
Right. Like, if he was performing in, like, the at halftime of, like, the World Cup final, Maybe that is. But I don't think that's what we're talking about, right? It's just like one of the many group stage games, presumably one of the ones here in Canada, I would think. So, I mean, maybe that's not the case, but I do think it's probably the Super Bowl halftime show. I do think to your point about Kendrick maybe not having a lot of hits that the general populace knows, because again, it's for those people. It's not for like hip hop heads or Kendrick stans. It's for like the average person. And beyond the ones I listed, I'm not sure there are a lot of Kendrick songs that the average person knows.
Never heard of them.
And I do wonder, was that Barker? Yeah, it was. Okay.
Which is also factually correct. He has never
heard. Yes, he has not. No chance. But you listed some of the artists who do have a lot of hits. I wonder how many generational performers are left that have not done the Super Bowl that would do it. Right, like we had this conversation with Shem last week before the Super Bowl. You said Taylor Swift. I think that's a good pick. He said Drake. Like I mean, Justin Bieber is probably pretty high on that list, all things considered. I mean, whether you like his music or not, like you've probably heard a vast majority of his songs.
He's done NHL All Star in Toronto. He doesn't.
Yeah, he's hit the highs. He's at the highest of highs. But I mean, is that it? Like they haven't really tapped, at least not recently, country music, and I wonder if that's something that's a way they go, like much like they did the plethora of artists with like Mary J. Blige and Snoop and Dr. Dre and Eminem and 50. I wonder if they do something like that for country music down the road, because that's a genre I just haven't really explored that still has some pretty big stars. And I say this as someone who is not a huge country music fan, but I mean, are there that many genres left that they haven't tapped with the biggest performers having not performed?
I think if you go retro, you can. And because I believe artists from yesteryear, not to sound like an old person, they still understand the art of performance.
Right.
That's when music videos mattered. Usher roller skated around while performing. Like that's the level that he took it to. He didn't just stand on a car.
I mean, this is a guy who had like a Las Vegas residency. Like he knows what it means to perform.
Which is where I'm going to take it. I think Britney.
Ooh, okay.
I think an artist like that with the nostalgia on her side, I think that is something that would get the people going. All right, you might be all Super Bowled out. Hopefully we gave you lots of information for you to digest and go and spread, whether you're having conversations in your chat groups or at the water cooler at work, because the Super Bowl has been a massive piece of pop culture moving forward. We love having these conversations. We will continue. Please continue to listen and like and favorite and share and subscribe and give 5 stars, because stars are in you to give. Who gives 2? Just don't listen. Give 5 stars. Thank you in advance. We'll talk to you soon.